Hi there. We're on tonight on VoiceOver Body Shop, live right here from our studio in Sherman Oaks. Got a great guest tonight, Dave Walsh.
Sitting right over there.
Right over there. One of the hottest coaches in Hollywood. The guy's got it together. It's going to be an interesting night talking about how to audition better and get your reading down much better.
Mm-hmm. Great.
What do we got tech-wise? Got some questions, don't we?
We got a lot of technical questions, which we always love. We love when you send them in. And I've got some technical show and tell to try out.
Cool. All righty. All that coming up on VoiceOver Body Shop. Don't go away.
Two men, twin sons from different mothers, with a passion for voiceover recording technology and the desire to make recording easy for voice actors everywhere, together in one place. George Whittam, the home studio engineer to the stars, a Virginia Tech grad with an unmatched knowledge of all the latest gear and technology in voiceover today. Dan Leonard, the home studio master, a voice actor with over 30 years experience in broadcasting and recording, and a no-holds-barred, myth-busting attitude for teaching you how easy it is. Together, finally, to bring you all the latest technology, the superstars of voiceover today, and leading the discussion on how to make the most of your voiceover business. This is VoiceOver Body Shop.
VoiceOver Body Shop is brought to you by VoiceOverEssentials.com, home of Harlan Hogan's signature products, Antland Productions, where you can get a killer demo, Source Elements, makers of Source Connect, Source Connect Pro, and Source Connect Now, VO2GoGo.com, and Rehearsal App, and VoiceOverExtra.com, your one stop for voiceover success. And by Edge Studios, find your voice.
And now, live from their super-secret multimedia studio in Sherman Oaks, California, here are George Whittam and Dan Leonard.
Good evening. I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop.
Or V-O-B-S.
Ooh, all right on cue.
Right on. See, we got to get the audience to do that, too, when we do that. Because we actually have a rather full studio tonight.
Full for our studio.
Yeah, we got to get a little bit of applause from the audience.
That way we can prove there's humans.
Yeah.
Humans.
Of course, it's just aiming in the wrong direction. There's like four people here. We got some great people here tonight, and they're going to play with us tonight, which is going to be lots of fun. Let's see. We have to remind also we have a new sponsor, Visi Demos.
Visi Demos.
Visi
You'll
Demos.
See their spot today during the show.
Yeah, great. Maybe you need to have a video demo as opposed
maybe
to just
maybe you do.
Maybe. Well, I guess we'll find out. Our guest tonight, Dave Walsh, is a great coach, a guy who I have a lot of respect for because he can get out of you what you don't think you can get out of yourself. Mm. Which sounds kind of weird, but we'll go with that.
Unless you're an actor, then you get it.
Nah, yes. Which apparently supposedly all of you are. Otherwise, why are you watching this show? We've got some tech stuff. We've got some great questions. And if you have a question for us, you can throw it in the chat room. Or you can write to us during the week at theguys@vobs.tv. And we're getting more and more questions, which is fabulous, because that's what George and I like to do, is answer questions.
We do.
Because otherwise we'd have nothing to talk about. Okay, well, let's get the show rolling here. It's now time for...
And now, the VoiceOver Extra VOBS News, the latest and most comprehensive voiceover industry news, brought to you live.
Alrighty, well, here is the VoiceOver Extra News. E-learning explodes. Over many years, the most highly attended webinars presented by VoiceOver Extra have been led by me, but on a multitude of VoiceOver home studio topics. Yet last week, a challenger came pretty close, but not close enough. But he did make a good point. J. Michael Collins, a tremendously busy voice actor and trainer who divides his time between the U.S. and Europe, zoomed in from Luxembourg to share why and how to voice and market e-learning projects. It's a niche that has grown to comprise a third of J. Michael's voiceover income, and this field can only get hotter. Here are some nuggets from the two-hour webinar about that market and some eye-opening figures on potential income for voice actors. J. Michael's research finds that e-learning overall is a $160 billion industry, with a B. And at a projected growth rate of 5% a year, it will be $230 billion by the year 2023. Here's a perspective. Within 10 years, spending on e-learning will amount to nearly half of the annual U.S. budget for the military. Think about that for a second. Next, who will be paying you to voice e-learning? Government agencies, all right? Corporations and institutions, as they train their employees and clients and also think about e-learning developers themselves. Of course, another niche we often report about, audiobook narration, is soaring too. But for most voice talent, e-learning offers more earning potential. Are you ready for this? J. Michael says that today, per finished hour rates for e-learning range between $900 and $3,600. All right, he's doing okay. At those rates, you can certainly afford to hire an editor to clean up your recordings, which gives you more time to market and voice over evermore. You can also charge e-learning clients per word or per finished minute. Per word rates are typically between 10 and 30 cents per word, subject to a minimum per script or project. And per finished minute rates range between $15 and $60, again, subject to a minimum. By the way, don't charge by the page, since page sizes can vary, and they can vary all over the place, or just change to 12-point double-spaced, which is what I do. So if you've been thinking about this niche or want to delve deeper into it, be aware that you've got lots of company. Get started as soon as possible. Video and audio recordings of this webinar and scores more, like all of mine, are available now at voiceoverextra.com homepage. Check out the training column on the left side of that page. And, of course, check out the many hundreds of free voiceover how-to articles there as well.
Man, you're getting pretty good at this teleprompter stuff.
I wasn't reading that. It's all up here.
Nicely done.
Yes.
Well, I didn't find any great tech news this week, so I brought in some show and tell.
Okay,
and,
cool.
I've had these little guys sitting around for a while, and I thought, well, let's see if anybody has tried these before, and if not, you know, let's get some feedback from people that are willing to try something new. And that is, these are the Aftershocks AS. I believe these are the AS400s. I don't have a model number printed on the body, but I've had them for a while. But the AS400 Sports Open Ear Stereo Headphones. All right, so why the heck am I showing off sports headphones?
Why are you showing off sports headphones?
I thought you'd never ask. Well, these are unique sports headphones, and that these are what they call conduction or bone conduction headphones.
Ooh.
So should I go over to the other camera, Andrew, for a close-up? I don't know if this one's more close or not, but yeah, it's a little bit better. So I'll put them on so you can see how they're worn, but these are bone conduction headphones. These are like kind of quasi-military technology. They're different from regular headphones because they don't go over your ears. Well, they kind of go over your ears. They go around your ears, and then they press against the, what's this bone right here? The TMJ, whatever the heck it's called?
Mastoid bone.
The mastoid? The mastoid. They press right here against the jaw. And so what happens is they are conducting the sound through your jaw instead of through your eardrum. Why the heck would you want these? Well,
why would you want that?
For folks that need to be cued over, you know, that are need to be cued and takes direction over a phone patch or Skype or whatever the case is, and they don't want to have open speakers in the studio, then they also don't want to wear headphones because they don't want to hear a lot of themselves in their headphones and throw off their acting because they're getting too much of that headphone feedback, which can screw you up. These could be possibly a happy medium for you. They have a little box that's in line, and this is an amplifier, actually, because these little guys need power. They require a lot of power to vibrate your jaws to get the volume out of them. So they do have a little amplifier that charges right off of the headphone jack itself. So the headphone jack, don't ever lose this thing. This little thing is an adapter that turns the headphone jack into a charger so that you can charge the little headphone amp power supply with volume controls and power button.
It's like my mini drone. Plug it in the same way.
Yeah, it's very clever. It is a weird sensation at first, I have to admit. You can hear your voice through the jaw, and you feel a vibration from these little pads against your jaw. But the key thing for me is to not set it up so you can hear yourself in these. In other words, you don't want to have yourself monitoring through these at the same time.
Well, you shouldn't be listening to yourself
anyway. You shouldn't be monitoring yourself anyway in most cases, so that you're only hearing yourself in the natural environment. You don't want the feedback of the headphones clouding your judgment of how you really do sound. It's very distracting. You start sounding like you're on the radio because you're trying to sound really great in your headphones. That's not good. So my idea is that what if you use this to monitor the phone call, the director over Skype, whatever it is, so that you can still have your ears unencumbered. That's the concept. I want you guys to take a challenge. You can get these on Amazon. Obviously, there's a great return policy on Amazon.
So how much are they?
I think last time I looked at this particular pair, they were in the affordable ballpark. $50, $55 range. Not crazy expensive. No. There's a lot on there that are Bluetooth. So you don't want the Bluetooth ones. Bluetooth is not good for studio monitoring because there is latency. There's a little delay on a Bluetooth. Not a ton, but it's enough that might screw you up. Then again, if you're only listening to the far end of the conversation, it's not such a big deal. But if you want to be able to plug these into your Scarlett 2i2 or whatever you're recording with, these are the ones to go with the actual cord. And give it a shot. Let us know if they work for you. I'm going to leave these here for Dan. And let him try them out.
I get to have fun with them.
And see, because I'm not a voice actor, so I don't use them in real life scenarios. I just play with it and go, well, that's interesting. But to know for sure is to try it out.
Right.
So Dan,
it'd be interesting to check and, you know, monitoring some playback and see how they work.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, as headphones, they don't sound that great. They don't sound as good as having a really good pair of headphones, you know, with a nice large diaphragm going into your eardrum.
And Harlan Hogan's name on it.
Yeah. The fidelity of good headphones, or even moderately good headphones, is a lot better than these. But as a utility, just as a way to monitor a voice and hear direction, I don't know, could be kind of interesting.
Right.
So Dan, try them out.
I will report back next week.
And you guys out there, if you happen to have one of these or if you've ever tried it, leave us a comment down below on this video. We'd love to get your feedback on whether these are viable for monitoring voiceover. So that's the Aftershocks. There's a ton of them, different models, but Panasonic apparently has gotten in the game too. They have an open ear bone conduction headphone. So
cool.
Check them out and let us know what you think.
All righty. Well, Dave Walsh is our guest. We'll be talking to him in just a couple of minutes. We got a couple of great questions that you've sent in this week. So stay tuned. We will be right back here on VoiceOver Body Shop. Don't go away.
Hiya, VO friends. You say you ain't booked a VO gig in 7 years, and your demo is so old that you can hear the clicks from the stock music records, and you hear so much tape hiss that you run to the sink to see if the faucet is running, and the engineer used so much echo on your voice that it sounds like it was recorded in the Grand Canyon, and the scripts seem a bit dated too, advertising the new and improved 1938 Plymouth Road King? Is that what's been troubling you, Bunky?
Well, lift your head up high and take a walk in the sun. Your demo can be killer, too. Just contact Uncle Roy at AtlandProductions.com and book yourself a shiny new killer demo. Show your stick-to-itiveness and show the world. You'll never give up, never give up, never give up that dream.
Hey, everybody. I wanted to give a little shout-out to one of our great sponsors of VoiceOver Body Shop, and that is Source Elements, the creators of Source Connect. This is a software that allows real-time connections between studios and very, very high audio quality. At this time, it is still an audio-only technology, but for VoiceOver, that's perfect, and it works beautifully. It's a very reliable and very widely supported technology now that is being used by more studios than ever. I'm hearing a lot from my clients who are voice actors doing promo, commercial, that they're shifting away from ISDN and more towards Source Connect. It is really happening. Last year was sort of a bit of a seed change. a couple new things in Source Connect that are unique right now. And one of them is in Source Connect Standard, you now have control over the buffer settings. So if you want to have lower latency connections for easier round trip, you know, when you're having conversation, you can now do that with Source Connect Standard. You can also use Source Connect Standard without an iLock, so you don't have to have that little iLock key. And you can use Source Connect. You can now select the audio hardware in Source Connect Standard directly, whereas before you had to go into your Windows or Mac control panel. So a few upgrades to their standard software, which is really nice. And you can get a trial of it for 15 days right now at source-elements.com. They also have a really deluxe version called Source Connect Pro. And because my friend Byron's in the audience, they have a version called Pro X. Why is it called Pro X? For those that really, 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 really want to use the APTX codec, it is now baked into Source Connect Pro into version Pro X. Small number of you would need that, but some of the pro studios insist on using that codec, so it can do that. Give it a try, source-elements.com. Thanks for sponsoring our show. I almost did it without a big flub. That close. But thanks for watching, and we'll be right back here with questions from the viewers. Thanks for watching.
Learn the latest in voiceover technology, business, and good old-fashioned acting.
I really like your bracelet. It's awesome.
Hey, Paul, where did you get that watch?
That's really cool.
And a hamburger with no cheese, please.
Every Monday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, only on voiceoverbodyshop.com.
Wow, this is VOBS?
Every Monday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific.
VoiceOver Body Shop. I love when they talk BS about VO.
And we're back here on VoiceOver Body Shop. Interesting that, you know, this Hollywood sign looks kind of... it's dirty and dusty underneath there. But not anymore. With all this rain we've been having in Southern California, it looks like the Emerald Isle. Everything's emerald green no matter
where
you
look. It is amazing. It's so green. Especially, I live out in Topanga, and just I go out every day, and I'm like, where am I? This is usually a brown desert with trees on it.
You're in Oz.
It's pretty cool.
It looks like Oz most of the time anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's been wet here, which is not a bad thing.
No, we needed it.
That's true. So last week I showed that microphone that I built.
Yes, you did.
And I was so impressed by the guys at micparts.com.
Free plug, by the way.
Yeah,
free plug. Well, I won a microphone. Let's be real.
All right. It's,
you know, I won a microphone. Right. They didn't give it to us. I won it.
I was so impressed with at how easy it was to build that kit that I had an old MXL 2001, and it said, well, you can upgrade it to something similar to a U87 instead of for $3,000 for like under $300.
Wow.
And I spent about 6 hours over the last day or so, and it's almost done. And I plugged it in, and it works.
Worked right out of the box. It just needs some tweaking.
Just needs a little bit of adjustment with one of the things in there. So it can be done. If this moron can do it, anybody can do it.
How long did you spend on that?
6 hours.
Oh, that's not bad.
You know, I've got some auditions to do. Come out to the studio. Soldering away. But at least
I'm glad Marcy doesn't watch. Oh, wait, she does watch the show.
Yeah,
oh,
no, you're screwed. Not tonight. She's gone. Oh. All right. Anyway, we have some questions from our fantastic studio audience and from our audience that is all over the place, across the fruited plain, all over God's green earth. And we start off with the question from Carolyn Ashby. She says, I seem to have a sibilance issue around the 10 kilohertz area. I'm currently trialing mics, including the Neumann U87 AI, going into an Audit ID22.
That's a nice signal chain.
Can't get much better than that. Yeah. But the sibilance is still there. I have the mic angled just off axis above my mouth. Also, I've tried a de-esser, but not sure how to use it effectively. Any further tips on controlling the sizzle?
Well, I know coaching, Dave, I mean, you can mention this later, maybe, possibly. Yeah. Is that something you address sometimes in coaching, dealing with...
It's all about also how you're positioning, how you're speaking, in terms of sometimes if you cut the volume in speaking, it actually cuts the sibilance down.
Yeah.
Sometimes if you have something, if it's something predominant in your speaking voice, if you cut volume in addition to the mic itself, the help of the mic, it really changes it. It does mitigate it.
That's cool, man. Yeah, there's definitely some distinct acting technique, and Dave can talk about that too.
Absolutely.
But there's acting technique that will reduce the effect of the sibilance. But at the end of the day, if the mic has a response curve that accentuates sibilance a little bit,
around 10 kilohertz,
then that's
a problem.
Just
the right mic
for you.
It's
going to be there. Yeah. I mean, it may not be the right mic for you, just because it is one of the quote unquote industry standard voiceover mics doesn't mean it's the greatest sounding mic on everybody by a long shot.
Yeah.
You might want a mic that's a little more flat at the top end, that doesn't have as much of a presence rise in the mid-range, top range.
Right.
But at the end of the day, you know, you invested in this signal chain. I usually just set up an equalizer curve. So if you're getting sibilance at 10 kilohertz, just go into your equalizer and reduce a little bit in that same frequency range.
Not a
just
lot.
Just a little notch.
Just a
few dB,
little
3, 4 dB.
If that much.
And if it's that severe, if that still doesn't fix it, then invest in a de-esser plug-in.
Yeah.
You know, which is a Band-Aid, but, you know.
It's great in Audition because you can use the spectrograph and just highlight these little, you see it clear as day.
Yeah.
And just take out the sibilance, the little pieces out.
It's a bright yellow, right?
Yeah.
The louder it is, the brighter the color is.
You just circle it and just lower the volume on it. It's fabulous. It's like it was never there.
A spot fix for sibilance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So try that. Okay. Jack DeGolia. I usually record in waves 16-bit 44 hertz. Like
44,
we all should.
44,100 hertz.
44,000, right, exactly. Yeah. The other day, a client wanted to use my Audition as the final product, which is always great to hear, but the client wanted the recording at 24-bit 48,000 hertz.
Mm-hmm.
In Twisted Wave, I could convert the sampling rate to 48,000 hertz, but I could not change its bit depth. So as a workaround, I created a new file at the client specs, copied and pasted the audio from the original Audition, and let the client know what I've done, offering to re-record at the correct settings if there were any issues.
Okay.
Two questions. Is 16-bit 44-100 still the most common default setting, or should I change that? And I'm figuring my workaround really didn't change the bit depth. What else might I have done besides re-record?
Well, yeah, once you record at a lower quality, you can upsample or re-resolute, change the resolution of the audio all you want. It's all of that is just numbers.
Right.
You can't get what you don't have.
Right.
So if you've already recorded at 16-bit 44.1, you can convert it to anything you want. It's still going to have the sound quality of 16-bit 44.1 kilohertz.
Right. Which not is, that anybody can tell the difference.
That's a sample rate that was established.
Right.
And I don't know exactly why 44.1 kilohertz was what they settled on. But Sony and Philips developed the CD audio standard back in the late 70s, early 80s. The standard that creates the silver CD. I think you can still buy these things, right? CDs.
Yeah. Remember those?
Yeah. CDs. Yeah. And so that was the standard. And if you put on a CD today, you don't generally put on a CD and go, "Ugh, it's harsh. It sounds awful." Unless you're some golden-eared audiophile
with a turntable and
$80,000 speakers.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. But it sounds really good. So the point is, the only reason I think to record at a higher bit rate is so that if someone wants a lower bit rate or the same bit rate you recorded at, you're covered.
Right.
You know, it's very easy to downsample or downgrade the quality. It's a piece of cake. You just save ass. As for the bit rate, I'm now just saying record everything at 24 bits. I used to be 16 bits fine. Now I'm saying 24.
That's what I go.
Pretty much everybody's hardware now supports 24-bit, and it makes your audio as pretty future-proof because 24-bit audio should be relatively standard for many years to come. So, and it just takes roughly 50% more hard drive space, I think, is how it kind of works out.
Yeah.
So
if you like burning up your hard drive space,
hard drives
go for
cheap.
It.
I mean, hard drives are cheap.
I bought a 5 terabyte hard drive this week.
How much? $200?
$130.
Oh my God. Mind blown.
That is
insane. So yeah, record at 40, record at the higher bit rate. He's saying, you know, what else might I have done? Without re-recording, you can't. I mean, all you're doing is faking it.
Right.
You can resave it at a higher bit rate, but it's still
read recording. The specs before you record too. You know, I mean, if you send them something and say, "No, we really wanted you to do this," well, you could have told me that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. They should make that really clear up front before you record it.
That's right.
So, yeah, good question, though.
Yeah, that's an excellent question,
Jack. Steve Gonzalez sent the last one.
Yes, he did. Just purchased a Sennheiser 416. Good for you, Steve. What would you recommend for the best shock mount for it? Thanks for all you do.
Man, this is not an easy question because there's a lot of cool options for shock mounts.
There are. Well, here is the venerable 416. This one I bought at Banjo Emporium.
I think that's a Sabrent.
Is that what it is?
Or Sabra Som.
It's backwards.
Let me see.
Why is it backwards when we're looking at it forwards?
No, that's right. Sabra Som.
Oh, Sabra Som. Okay.
Sabra. Yeah. S-A-B-R-A-S-O-M. That's a Sabra Som. This is like a universal shock mount. This can fit a lot of different kinds of mics, which makes it really kind of cool because it's universal. Yes. Now you can see it better.
Much better. Yeah.
You can adjust the how far apart the little rings are. Let me put it in front of the screen so you can see. You can adjust how far apart the rings are from each other, so it'll fit different size mics. It's kind of a cool mount, actually. It's pretty flexible.
Great for a 416, though, because you know you just have to remember how to line it up with the elastic. And
stuff. I mean, you can even secure it a little bit better by flipping these around, and you can get a little bit better support that way. Anyway, a little bit of experimentation, but you'll find that this thing works really well. But you can see it's pretty wide, so it'll fit much wider microphones as well.
Yeah.
Do that. There you go. You can see it'll accommodate a pretty big mic. I mean, my hand almost will fit in there. So that's a pretty cool design. It's very, very lightweight too, which can be nice.
Yeah.
Harlan Hogan's got one on his website.
Yep.
Being a sponsor of the show, I got to mention him at voiceoveressentials.com. He's got a nice little shock mount, reasonable price, $30 range that fits the shotgun. If you want to get away with get away from using elastics, because elastics dry rot, they eventually will fail and come apart.
As long as you maintain and keep an eye on your equipment, that's usually not a problem.
If you have a perfectly humidity controlled room, they won't dry rot that fast, but they do dry rot pretty fast. So there's one made by a company called Rycote, R-Y-C-O-T-E. Byron and I were talking about this today, and it uses this technology called a lyre mount. L-Y-R-E. Mm-hmm. And the lyre mount is some sort of a space-aged polymer. You know, it's a plastic material that is very strong but still resilient. And so it provides like a shock absorber for the mic where the mic can ride around inside. Mm-hmm. But there's no elastics. So it won't dry out and won't fall apart. And they're very, very sturdy and well-made. So check out the stuff from Rycote, too.
Right. And the 416 comes with a little clip-on mic that works fine, too.
It does. The clip that comes with this thing does work pretty well. If you use a high-pass filter, not a problem, because this is designed to isolate the mic from rumble, low-frequency junk.
Right.
So if you are using a high-pass filter, it becomes a little less required to use one. But it's nice to have.
All righty. And that's all there is for all our questions this week. Anyway.
I know what you're trying to do.
Okay, good. Yeah, you're a lot younger than me, so you don't remember all that. Anyway, we've got Dave Walsh coming up, and this is going to be a great night. If you got questions, throw them in the chat room, and I'm not sure who's in there tonight, but somebody's in there, probably Jack Daniel or Anthony, who's actually out here in California this week.
Yay!
Having lunch with him tomorrow. If you're watching Anthony, they'd be looking forward to seeing you. All righty, we'll be back in just a minute here on VoiceOver Body Shop, so don't go away.
Learn the latest in voiceover technology, business, and good old-fashioned acting.
I really like your bracelet. It's awesome.
Hey, Paul, where did you get that watch?
That's really cool.
And a hamburger with no cheese, please.
Every Monday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, only on voiceoverbodyshop.com.
Are you confused about how to set up and maintain a professional quality voiceover studio? No wonder. The information out there is mostly mythology. This is the best microphone to use. You have to have a preamp. You need a soundproof booth. This software is the best. Your audio must be broadcast quality. Consult with someone who knows the truth. Someone who's been there, in the trenches, doing voiceover for over 30 years. Someone with unparalleled experience with voiceover studios, who's worked with hundreds of voice actors and designed hundreds of personal studios. He knows how to teach and cares about your success.
in one of the harshest environments known to voiceover, your home. Dan Leonard, the home studio master. Separate myth from fact and get a handle on your personal voiceover studio. Contact the home studio master at homevoiceoverstudio.com. Drop off a specimen of your dry audio for a free analysis.
You're competing for work with other voice talents, and every one of them has a powerful, unique, engaging voice demo. Your voice demo needs to stand out from the crowd in an unforgettable way. Now it can. Vizzy Visual Voice Demos take your awesome voice demo and add a visual element, reinforcing your brand. Your demo will leave a lasting impression because it stimulates two senses instead of just one. Your voice is your livelihood. You need an effective demo to open doors of opportunity. Blow those doors down with a Vizzy Visual Voice Demo. Visit VizzyDemos.com for more information. Your audio demo never looked so good. Take your voice demos to the next level, a visual level, with Vizzy Visual Voice Demos. Check out our introductory pricing at VO Atlanta 2017.
Hey, you know, now is a great time to get Rehearsal Pro, because in just a few short weeks, there will be a brand new feature in Rehearsal Pro that will blow you away. We're going to give you access to a new community of actors and voice talent where you can offer your services as a professional to help others with their rehearsing and scene exploration. Cool.
More
details coming very soon. Now, Rehearsal Pro, the app for actors and voiceover talent, is available now at rehearsal.pro/download. That's rehearsal.pro/download. Learning your lines for on-camera work has never been easier, and creating quick, awesome-sounding voiceover auditions has never been faster. And with the new Reader Marketplace, you'll be able to create your own business helping other actors book more work. All right. That's Rehearsal Pro, available at rehearsal.pro/download. That's rehearsal.pro/download. We'll be right back with Dave Walsh.
Learning never ends.
You continue to grow.
Edge Studio has grown. Pursue multiple disciplines in tandem and grow your career. We've added new courses in a new curriculum.
We picked the best coaches from the community of working voice actors.
A new technology division, engineering and consulting, led by George Whittem.
Follow your dream.
Sign up for advanced learning or register for an introduction to voice acting or foundation studies program.
See it all now
at thenewedgestudio.com.
Having dinner tonight? How about having some VO, too?
VoiceOver Body Shop.
Have some VoiceOver with your dinner tonight on VoiceOver Body Shop, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific.
All right, we're back. Let's talk about our guest. Dave Walsh has enjoyed a truly multifaceted career on both sides of the Hollywood glass as a successful artist, coach, and director, as well as studio executive. Thinking of talking about cigars. Walsh has been a key national and international voiceover talent for almost 20 years, fronting signature campaigns for commercial and television icons, including AT&T, HBO, Honda, Entertainment Tonight, ET, Modern Marvels, I love that show, Shell, NBC's The Biggest Loser, Wells Fargo, The E, True Hollywood Story, CBS's Big Brother, and Hyundai.
It's Hyundai.
Hyundai. I don't have a Hyundai. Dave has also spent the better part of the last decade coaching and cultivating the voiceover careers of some of the most established artists in the United States, Canada, and in Latin America. As an executive at CBS Paramount Television and owner of his own research consulting firm, you've done everything, Dave. Walsh Media. Dave was a marketing force behind some of the most established franchises in television history, including E.T., Frasier, Cheers, and the entire Star Trek series library. Let's welcome to the show Dave Walsh.
How are you, my friend?
All right. Great. Nice to see you.
Wow. All man, right. Oh, man. That's beautifully done. You don't need any coaching at all.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
And now we have nothing left to say.
That's
good night, everybody.
See ya.
Have a nice night, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Yes.
So it's great to be here.
I'm glad you're
finally. It's great to come and spend time with you guys.
I've been so looking forward to working with you and getting a chance to talk to you because you've got some unique stuff with coaching that I have not found with other coaches.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. So we'll talk about that.
Absolutely.
In a second.
Absolutely.
But aside from all this stuff that I just told you, tell us a little bit more about yourself and how you got to all those amazing places.
Well, it's just kind of I've always had a love for this business since I was 5 years old. I mean, those of us that are in it have that passion for it,
right,
as any other form of acting. And I started getting into voiceover probably about 27 years ago,
yeah,
when I was working at Paramount and had worked as a publicist and worked in research and marketing at Paramount Television. And one of the things being a part of the studio was packaging television shows, as you listed off. It's more the fact that being involved in these franchises that were huge, that it was helping to create the marketing for the series. And when I went into voiceover, which was about at that time, kind of having worked in the branding business for so long, I needed to do the same thing for my voiceover career, because in our as voice actors, we are our own brands.
Well, you had an advantage because you knew how to do it.
It was it translated perfectly into this business. So that's how I got started in the branding business, and always treated my career that way and treat my clients' careers that way as well. So when we're coaching, whether it's promo or it's commercial, narration, trailer, it doesn't matter what it is, it's always working from the standpoint that the actor, the talent themselves is a brand.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way I've always coached them.
Cool.
Yeah.
You were also a studio executive?
Yeah, at Paramount.
What exactly did that entail, aside from smoking cigars?
I wish I had an office like that.
Yeah.
I was director of research and marketing, so it included all the packaging of Nielsen. It was on using the right side of my brain at that point,
okay,
which was working in research and marketing and selling all of our television shows for network, for syndication and international distribution. So it all came down to what was the most effective way to brand and package these series for sale and for renewal. So again, it was coming from the business side of Hollywood, which really helped inform working as an actor and then packaging series, you know, packaging talent and packaging voices on this side of the business. So they both complemented each other beautifully, at least to me.
Right. So since then,
yeah,
you've changed things.
I did. I mixed it up about 25 years ago and I've never looked back. It's been I've had an incredible run in terms as a voice actor, and having been blessed and working in every part of voiceover, including animation and video games and affiliate and news and promos, as I mentioned before.
That's everything. Yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah.
And I think it's only helped as a coach now, working with actors in so many different areas of voiceover, that I've been able to dip my foot in everything. So it's really helped to really expand the breadth of the coaching, you know? Mm-hmm. So
cool.
Yeah.
That's always said to us that part of our job, actually our job as voice actors, is to audition. Not so
it
much.
It is.
I mean, once you get the job.
That is the job.
It is. Part of the full-time part of it, though, is audition, audition, audition.
Right.
What is it that people can do to stand out from the crowd? Because as we know, it's amazing how people read a script and like, yeah, it sounded like 10 other people. That
yeah, exactly. But I think that because it's such a, it's an audio-driven business, that people's initial reaction is, how do I sound? And
right,
when I coach clients, and I think you and I have talked about this before too, it's not how it sounds, it's how does it feel?
Right.
Because in the end, any conversation you have, any time of the day or night when you're not in the studio, you never think about what you're saying. It's not about how it sounds, it's how does it feel to communicate whatever the heck it is that we want to communicate.
Right.
It's the same thing with a script. So the key to the whole thing is really identifying and being comfortable with who you are as a person, how mm-hmm. you feel about the material that you're talking about. Because in the end, you're telling a story. That's really what it is. But the most important thing is, how do you feel about the material you're speaking about? And most importantly, who is it you're talking to and why you're talking to them? And
right.
That's what I call in my marketing, the true tell.
Mm-hmm.
Because it basically is, you would never tell a story you didn't want to tell.
Right.
And so why would you start now in the booth? That's
that's the core of the work. That's the core of the coaching.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Good example of this.
Yeah.
You and I were doing a session at Tim Friedlander's studio at Soundbox LA.
Love Tim.
Great guy.
Hey,
great
Tim.
Guy. Yeah. He usually watches. He's been on the show. We've been at his studio.
I know. He's told me.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was given a script and I went in the booth and it was for Honda.
Right.
And I read this script and you get on the squawk box and you're like, do you own a Honda? I'm like, no, I have a Prius. He goes,
Of course.
And you said, read it, put Toyota
work,
in
work
there.
Work it as if you're working as a Toyota.
Right.
Absolutely. Because again, why would you put yourself through, I'll say it, what would you put yourself through the hell of trying to talk about a Honda if you really didn't care?
Right.
Right. And you connected to the, do you remember how quickly you connected to the copy?
Right.
Instantly. Yeah. Again, it's taking the path of least resistance in the booth because so many people, as so many of you know out there, home studio directing is part of VoiceOver in 2017. We don't all have the luxury of having other people direct us.
It helps.
So it definitely helps.
Does.
But if you're doing it home by yourself, you don't want to sit there for an hour at a time on one script. So it's really about how quickly can you connect to the copy authentically and viscerally.
Right.
That's the thing. Because, again, you also want to know that your voice will follow behind if the story's true. If the story you're telling isn't connected, we'll know.
Mm-hmm.
You'll know. George would know. I mean, anybody with a trained or an untrained ear is going to know when a story doesn't sound true. Your wife knows it. Your kids know it. Your friends know it. People will know if you're trying to fudge a story.
Right.
We think that we're getting away with it, but in actuality, you're really not. So this is really about the TrueTel curriculum is really to help you find a shortcut at home, whether you're working with your agent in your agent's office or if you're working at home, to really get to the nuts and bolts of a story effectively and quickly.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we get these scripts.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes 10 a day and, you know.
God bless you.
It helps.
It does.
You know, it gives you lots of good practice. But if you're getting, you know, say 5 scripts a day.
Right.
And, you know, I have a general rule. You shouldn't spend more than 10 minutes on an audition.
Says who?
Says my wife.
Wow.
I didn't say it, Marcy. He said it. No, I did not say it.
She's not here tonight. But the fact is that, you know, I know that I have to sometimes take 20 minutes on an audition.
Sure.
I want to make sure it's edited. It's going to sound right. You know, I'm sending out what is going to, they're going to go, well, if this is what it's going to sound like, this guy sounds okay.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't know what the hell he's reading about, but it sounds
great. It sounds wonderful.
What are some of, you know, not to giving away too much, but what are some tips that you can give people that will help them cue into getting the feeling for a particular piece of copy?
Right. Well, first and foremost is we're kind of assuming that you have worked with these gentlemen working your brilliance, that their studios sound amazing. So once a studio actually sounds wonderful, you can actually disconnect from worrying about it sounding professional.
Right.
So let's put that to the side. Right. Now, the key to the script, first of all, is understanding what it is you're talking about. Because actors seem to think that if I repeat the script 3 and 4 times over, that's all I need to do. The more that I actually repeat the script, I'll understand it more. That's like sitting at the table, if you're sitting and having a conversation with someone at a dinner party and saying, do you mind if I repeat this story to you 4 times? Because the more I say it to you, the more I'm actually going to believe it. You won't be invited back to that dinner party anytime soon, I swear to God.
I remember that.
Exactly. So why would you do that with a script? If you repeat the story, it doesn't ground the story. It grinds the read into the ground. It just continues to grind the read into the ground. It doesn't get you any further. It gets you to be able to pronounce words correctly, but does that really get you closer to understanding what the story is? So most importantly, take a step back from the script and really take the time to understand what you're talking about. Secondly, how you feel about or your TrueTel about the actual story itself. And then understanding who you're speaking to and why you're speaking to them.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and again, you and I are having a conversation. We're not even thinking about what we're saying. We know why we're talking to each other.
Right.
So everything we're saying is flying across the brain in nanoseconds. But if you're reading somebody else's words, you have to spend a little bit more time
right
on understanding why you're the person telling that story.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's the, to me, that's the real quick nuts and bolts shortcut to prep.
Right. And most of the copy we see today, they're not looking for, unless it says looking for a typical announcer type.
Right.
It says, you know, like the guy next door you're going to have a beer with.
Right.
Or it's conversational seems to be the thing that's in. It's not as easy as people think.
It isn't. And I think it's a misnomer, too, because I did a workshop at one of the networks a few years ago, and I had one of the very well-known promo guys as my guinea pig to be the talent. And I brought up the word conversational, and I said, when a director, and I had a bunch of directors from the network at this workshop, and I said, when we bring up the word conversational, I said to him, what does that word mean anything to you? And he said, absolutely nothing. I said, you seem to think you know what the word conversational means, but it's either promo conversational, commercial conversational, narration conversational. There is an element of, what's the word? There's an element of, it's a little bit on. It is conversational within that world of commercial, promo, narration, trailer, etc. But there is an element of uptick in terms of the presence of the read. So again, remember that, and I have this happen with actors all the time. Actors will come in and audition for something, and they'll say, what ended up on the air is not what I auditioned, or that's not what they said they wanted. And I said, you have to remember, it's going through a filter of several creative directors, writers, producers, casting people, and people from the client's office. By the time that filters through, it's going to sound different. So, but again, your prep is for the audition, which is the job. Whatever ends up going on the air, that's gratis. That's awesome.
Right.
That's the field trip.
That's true.
That's the field trip. That's when you've passed the final exam. Now the teacher's taking you on the bus. You're going on a field trip. That's wonderful. Enjoy the recording session. The work is already done.
Right.
Yeah.
Now that's for a commercial copy.
That's for all copy.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely. That applies to every piece of copy.
Right. Even for, say, a documentary narration or a corporate read or something like
that. Yeah, because here's the thing. Think of it this way. Think of the frame of each format of voiceover: commercial, promo, narration, trailer, animation, affiliate, imaging, whatever it is. Each format of voiceover has its own format, and we all know what that format sounds like. You know what a promo sounds like.
Right.
You know what a commercial sounds like. You know what a trailer sounds like. Now, what's the artwork that's going inside that frame?
Uh-huh.
So we know what the commercial will sound like because we know the format of a commercial, the same for a promo. Now pay attention to the canvas that the story is painted on.
Mm-hmm.
You just trust the fact that you know what the frame looks like. You know how big or small it needs to be. Now worry about the artwork inside of it. That's the story. That's our responsibility. You were trained in how to build a frame around a story. Now tell the story that's in the frame. Does that make sense?
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah. It takes a while to sort of let that sink in because I think most people, you know, if they're fairly new to the business, they're like, oh, I just read for a living.
Right.
And it's not that at all.
Right.
It's acting.
It's called voice acting. That's what we do. It's not just voice talking. It's not voice reading. It is voice acting. But I think that, you know, everyone, when you come into the business, is if you're interested in the different areas of voiceover, is taking a workshop in those particular tracks. And then the more that you've actually studied what the frame of that tract is, then really start learning the nuts and bolts of how to tell a story in that framework.
Mm. Let's talk about workshops for a second.
Yeah.
Because there was an issue that cropped up in Hollywood last week.
Yes.
Where a bunch of a major workshop agency, I'm not exactly sure who it was, but they were selling access to casting directors, or at least that was what they were accused of.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people go to workshops. Now, there was some great discussion at this meet group about this, and it's valuable to be able to get in front of casting directors.
Sure.
Should you have to pay for the opportunity to do it?
I think that, look, I come after 25 years of being in this business. I've taken workshops with casting directors,
mm-hmm.
some of the most well-known casting directors in our business, And I'll be totally honest with you. I'm speaking only for myself. Mm-hmm. As a coach and as an actor, I don't have a problem working with people, having to go to a workshop for a casting director to work with them. It's not about a pay or play to me. I don't look at it that way. That what they are offering you is their expertise, years and decades of expertise to move your career forward. If you find in that workshop that they remember you and they want to bring you in, this is part of paying your dues in this business. Right. This is not about people becoming financially, people not gaining financial profit from running a workshop. This is about, as an actor, it is your responsibility to learn. That's what this business is for. And right. The people that teach, people like myself, people who have worked as actors and now as coaches, people as casting directors or as directors. Me personally, Dan, honestly, I don't have a problem with that. I think it's too much is made of it. And I think that you really learn something incredibly advantageous. I've learned so much from the casting directors in this business that I wouldn't think twice about writing a check.
No,
not
absolutely.
A bit. Yeah, that's how I feel.
I think the problem was is that perhaps the advertising for the workshops was promising being cast in the States.
That's absolutely, that to me, no bueno. That's not cool. You can't do that. And quite frankly, none of the casting directors that I know in our business in voiceover, no one's going to promise you anything. I think even as a coach, you know, if there's actors looking to change agents or to get new agents, I would never promise an actor that if I produce his demo or her demo or coach with me enough, and I'll get you a new agent. I would never promise an actor anything like that. You're not laying good groundwork that way by promising something like that. So
now,
it's a good question, though.
Yeah. How do you work with people? I mean, you work primarily one-on-one, right?
I work primarily one-on-one, but I am doing a promo workshop this weekend at Buzzy's in Hollywood. We are sold out. Thank God. It's awesome. But I do workshops probably about four times a year, but primarily coach one-on-one. Mm-hmm. FaceTime, Skype, Source Connect, IBDTL, whatever is going to work for the actor. And again, you know, I'm working with people all over the country different ways and people in town in person and here in L.A. Mostly privates. But again, the workshops I love doing. But, you know, we do them probably about four times a year.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They're fun. It's always fun.
They're
going
really fun.
And meeting
they're
other
awesome
people and working with other people. Because as voice actors, we're alone. We're stuffed in our booths most of the day. Don't get a chance to get out and meet people. You know, it's fun to get meet-up groups, but in a workshop where you're actually doing scripts and doing that kind of stuff, it's great stuff.
But it's also being invited. Like, I've worked at Tim's place. We've gone to Soundbox, and it's great to spend time with you guys because we get out. Like, you guys, we're isolated. I mean, we work with people one-on-one, but I like to get in a nice mishpocha. I like to get in a nice group, a nice family every once in a while.
Right.
You know, and that's what's really fun about the community, especially in L.A. too.
Yeah.
So
where there are a lot more of us.
Absolutely.
You know, if you've got a question for Dave Walsh, throw it in the chat room.
Bring it.
And I know Jack Daniels is in there.
Hey, Jack.
He's writing them all down and getting them to us. And we're going to talk a little bit more about the stuff that Dave does, and we're going to run some scripts here with some of our studio audience, and now they're running to the exits.
We'll be literally.
We'll be right back here on VoiceOver Body Shop. So stay tuned.
Learning never ends.
You continue to grow.
Edge Studio has grown. Pursue multiple disciplines in tandem and grow your career. We've added new courses in a new curriculum.
We picked the best coaches from the community of working voice actors.
A new technology division, engineering and consulting, led by George Whittem.
Follow your dream.
Sign up for advanced learning or register for an introduction to voice acting or foundation studies program.
See it all now
at thenewedgestudio.com.
You're competing for work with other voice talents, and every one of them has a powerful, unique, engaging voice demo. Your voice demo needs to stand out from the crowd in an unforgettable way. Now it can. Vizzy Visual Voice Demos take your awesome voice demo and add a visual element, reinforcing your brand. Your demo will leave a lasting impression because it stimulates two senses instead of just one. Your voice is your livelihood. You need an effective demo to open doors of opportunity. Blow those doors down with a Visi visual voice demo. Visit VisiDemos.com for more information. Your audio demo never looked so good. Take your voice demos to the next level, a visual level, with Visi visual voice demos. Check out our introductory pricing at VO Atlanta 2017.
You know, one of the guys we mention a lot around here is Harlan Hogan. Not only because he's our buddy, and not only because he's our sponsor, but because the guy's just been in voiceover since the dawn of broadcasting. Probably before. He was an actual friend of Marconi. No, he's now he's going to kill me. No, he's been around for a while, but because of that experience, he comes up with the best stuff for voice actors. If you need something for your home studio or some educational material, all you have to do is go over to voiceoveressentials.com. And you can get there by simply going down to the bottom of the page. I do this every week, but it's still funny. Go down there and check out the ad there that's right there. It's you can see it's got the Portabooth Plus and the Portabooth Plus case, which is just fabulous. My finger's disappearing.
Mine did too earlier. I got a little nervous.
You know, and there's the VO1A vocal microphone, and there's the stand that you can get for the Portabooth.
Can you find the shock mount, Andrew, that I was talking about earlier?
Oh, yeah, that's got to be there. I think that's in there somewhere.
The shotgun microphone shock
mount. Sure, it is right there. It's
Oh, there it is.
Hold on, I got it.
It's a little too. It's to the
left.
You can
click on it.
I'll just keep talking while you're looking.
But yeah, I was going to read off the features of that interesting shock mount because we were talking about it earlier.
Well, why don't you?
It's rugged but light as a feather. ABS composite construction, 2.4 ounces, which matters if you've got a relatively heavy mic and it's on a kind of not so stable mic arm. Steel angle adjusting knob and threaded brass stand connector.
Nicely
I know it doesn't
done,
sound
George.
Like a big deal, but
nicely done.
Yeah, you know, you don't want the thing to fall off the stand. 3 millimeter thick rubber O-rings provide adjustable tightness. Those are the parts that actually provide the shock mounting, and those are replaceable if they do break. They can be replaced in seconds. Blank ounce weight makes it great for traveling. Blank ounce? I think it's a 2.4 ounce is what it weighs.
Okay.
And it fits standard USA 5/8 microphone stand thread.
Okay.
There's your full feature list of the shock mount.
Right. The point being that you can get that particular device at voiceoveressentials.com.
For $29.95.
Which is a great price. So go on over to voiceoveressentials.com. Best way is by clicking on the bottom of the page so he knows you came from our site because you were watching our show, which he likes to know. And buy all of his stuff, especially that particular thing, if you have to have a 416 or one of his other great products. VoiceOverEssentials.com, sponsoring our show for almost 6 years. I guess he knows something.
He does.
I know. All right, we'll be right back with Dave Walsh and some script reading.
Are we at minus 4 dB? We're at minus 4 dB on VOBS.
Before time began, there was VOBS.TV. Watch. Or else.
VoiceOver Body Shop. Learn the latest in voiceover technology. Learn how to get rid of that. VoiceOver Body Shop. 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific on VOBS.us.
You're listening to VOBS. Learn the latest in voiceover technology, business, and good old-fashioned acting.
I really like your bracelet. It's awesome.
Hey, Paul, where did you get that watch?
That's really cool.
And a hamburger with no cheese, please.
Every Monday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, only on voiceoverbodyshop.com.
All righty, we are back with Dave Walsh.
Hello.
All right. Well, I've printed out some scripts here.
You have.
And we have some wonderful guests in our audience tonight. Blair Seibert.
Woo!
Get the audience Blair. Shot there. And Byron Wagner, who's a great actor and voice actor and tech guy, too. Knows his tech.
Just a tad.
Yeah, that's all right. Well, that's cool. All righty. But we've got like three scripts here. So I figure we'll go over these and
let's see if we can make something out of it. How would you go through a coaching session with this?
Well, I think first I'd pick who is going to read what.
Okay.
Just based on what I know about you guys.
All right.
I think I'm going to have, Byron, I think I'm going to have you take the honor code script, if you would. I think Blair, you will do the furnace script, and Mr. Leonard, you will take the Heartland script.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
Thank you.
So that being said, you guys, have you had a chance to look at the scripts? Okay,
yeah.
So... Harlan, we're going to have you, Byron, Harlan. Sorry, Harlan.
Well, they can walk up here.
We're going to have you jump in first.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to let Mr. Leonard kind of coordinate. How would you like to do this? I think we're going to have Byron's
okay,
first.
Let's have Byron go
you want
first.
Folks,
okay.
Do you want folks to stand up? I mean, if we do want to stand up.
Yeah, why not?
How can we,
is that how you normally work, Byron?
Usually it's horizontal, but,
You work best that way.
That's what I tell people.
There you go.
Okay.
It's cool. A conversation piece. Okay. Jump on in when you're ready.
Okay. This is as promo or as narration for a.
What do you think?
Looks to me like it's to match on screen.
Right. Okay. Which would be narration.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
It could be promo, but it's definitely not written as a narration.
Got it.
Okay.
Honor code. This 2-time G1 winner from APND's final crop won or placed in 10 of 11 starts. In 2015, he became just the 9th horse in history to win both the Met Mile and the Whitney in the same year, posting 112 and 113 buyer figures, respectively. And when it was all said and done, this champion retired from the racetrack with more than $2.5 million in the bank. All this adds up to a world-class stallion at a world-class stallion farm.
Okay, so going back to what we talked about earlier, what is this about?
A fabulous racehorse.
Which
an unusual
is? Which horse?
Honor code.
Okay. Now, what is your true tell about honor code? Meaning, what's your 100% authentic opinion about the horse?
Never heard of him.
There you go.
Okay.
So, what's your true tell? We're going to take it one step deeper about horse racing itself. What do you know about it? What do you like about it? What don't you care about?
My mother snuck me in when I was underage.
Okay. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
We actually went to a trotter track near where he's from.
Buffalo.
Buffalo.
Where the jockeys sit down right on the horse.
Okay.
Right on the horse. But no, I enjoyed it. It was fun. I like it.
Okay. Ever since then, have you gone to the track?
Nope.
You haven't? Okay.
Nope.
Is there anybody you know who loves the track?
A real human person?
That would be helpful.
Yeah. Not who's alive anymore, but I can ignore that part. I got somebody.
Okay, let's see where it goes.
Okay.
Ooh,
so that's who I'm talking to. That's my audience?
No, that's the person who's actually talking.
Ah, okay.
Because again, remember, path of least resistance, you don't know anything about horses. Why are you telling them? We love you.
Yep.
You're out.
Got it.
Yeah, here's the thing. When you try to spend the time trying to talk, telling a story you know nothing about, find someone that you know that would know about the subject matter. It just makes it easier for you.
Are they selling a stud horse here?
I don't think we've crossed that line yet.
We haven't crossed that line yet.
So far, this is just almost an institution about the horse.
Right. So this person you're speaking of?
Yep.
Okay, have them tell the story.
Okay.
Now, also, take your time a little more.
Okay. Honor code. This 2-time G1 winner from AP Indy's final crop won or placed in 10 of 11 starts. In 2015, he became just the 9th horse in history to win both the Met Mile and the Whitney in the same year, posting 112 and 113 buyer figures respectively. And when it was all said and done, this champion retired from the racetrack with more than $2.5 million in the bank. All this adds up to a world-class stallion at a world-class stallion farm.
That's the first time I heard the words world-class. Okay. First time. How did it feel this time?
Better. I liked the horse. It was important to me. I understood who I was talking to and why.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So it's a quick tweak. Now, what I would also advise is, it don't usually go. I usually don't advise people to go with people who have passed on or left the planet.
Right.
I don't mean it disrespectfully.
No, I understand.
But it's just sometimes it's more of a reach.
Yeah.
But as a quick tweak right now,
yeah.
It worked.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Nice job on that.
Thank you.
Very cool.
Thank
again, you, path of least resistance, person.
Yep.
Subject matter.
Yep.
And the reason why you're speaking.
Right.
Bing, bang, boom. Good.
Thank
nice
you.
Job.
Cool.
Beautiful.
Blair.
Blair.
Nice.
Blair Seibert. Thank you for being here tonight. Just
sure.
Come over here, right over here,
oh,
right over here.
Okay.
Get on camera. There all you right. go.
I gave this to you because we know you're eco-friendly.
Right.
Super absolutely.
Yeah. Do you want to read this whole thing? It's
kind of long. Read it down to replacing your filter is simple and takes just a couple of minutes. Read it halfway down.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Perfect.
Okay.
Okay. Take your time.
Replacing your furnace filter once a month not only improves your furnace's efficiency, it can also extend the life of your furnace. When a filter is clogged with dirt, dust, pet hair, the air doesn't flow as easily as it's supposed to, which means your furnace has to work harder. And if it's working harder, it's using more energy. Replacing your filter is simple and takes just a couple of minutes.
Do you care about the subject matter?
Well, I do.
Okay,
did
why?
Did it sound like it? Well, I want people to save energy. I do.
Okay.
Saves carbon emissions. It saves global warming. It just saves. It's just a good thing.
Okay. And who are you talking to?
Well, I was talking to a homeowner who's got a furnace.
Who is that?
Well, I'm a homeowner.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So who are you speaking to?
Well, I don't think I'm going to be talking to myself, so it would be another
pull
homeowner.
Pull up. Pull up.
What does that mean? I can
see,
talk to myself?
Do you see it? But do you see how right now you really didn't have anybody you were talking to? You really didn't know before you launched into it. Who it was you were speaking to,
yeah.
Or why.
Yeah.
Yeah, running without a rudder on that one.
Well, because we don't have furnaces around here. It's been that, a while.
But here's the thing. It's not the script's problem.
Right. It's my problem.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so who would you speak to?
Well, someone who owns a furnace.
Okay. Who does own a furnace?
Someone in a cold climate.
Okay, let's get specific.
My parents.
I have a furnace.
You
I
do?
Have a furnace.
George has one.
Oh, boy, you have bigger houses than I do, I guess.
So
like
let me ask the question flat out. Do you replace your filter?
You clean it?
My landlord does.
Your landlord does. Okay.
I replace my filters every 6 months.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay, so, yeah, the man with the answers is right here.
Okay.
So here's what I'm going to have you do. Okay. Not talk to Dan, talk as Dan. Mm. He knows. He replaces his filters. Now, just understand, we have two people here, right? You don't have a filter. You live here. Dan has a home with a filter. Who's better? Who's more equipped to tell this story?
Man with the furnace.
Shaw. Okay. Now, that's for you to tell the story as Dan. Now, if you're speaking as Dan, if you're speaking as a character, you give up the right guys to two things in the read. First, the read itself and the room you're speaking in. So right now, we love you. You're out. You're gone. Now Dan's in the room telling the story, full out, fully connected.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? We love
I think
you.
So.
We totally love you.
I need to act like I'm Dan.
You don't act like you're Dan. You're speaking through what we call his essence.
Okay.
You're speaking through what we know. Now look how well you know this man. Okay, this isn't an imitation. It's not a voice match. It's speaking right. Simply through his essence.
Okay.
Like he would tell the story.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Exactly.
Okay.
Whenever you're ready.
Replacing your furnace filter once a month not only improves your furnace's efficiency, it can also extend the life of your furnace. When a filter's clogged with dirt, dust, pet hair, the hair doesn't flow as easily as it's supposed to, which means your furnace has to work harder. And if it's working harder, it's using more energy. Replacing your filter is simple and just takes a couple of minutes.
Okay, better. How'd it feel?
It felt better.
Yeah,
it felt...
you're still getting in his skin.
Yeah.
Yeah, here's the thing. He doesn't know if you're speaking through his essence. He doesn't know that he's reading a script because he lives in this true tell. He lives in his authentic opinion about this 24/7. He immediately said, I replace my filter. He doesn't have to read a script to tell you why it replaces it.
Do you mean I'm not sounding conversational? I'm sounding like I'm reading it.
Here's the thing. The sound is one thing. It's how it feels to tell it.
Okay.
Sound is external.
Okay.
Sound's not something. Sound is the manifestation of the story.
Mm.
First and foremost, it really matters more how it feels to tell a true story than how it's going to sound. If it's true, it's going to sound connected. It's going to sound awesome. But right now, it's not connected. Mm-hmm. It's more important to let Dan tell the story full out as himself than worrying about how it sounds. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Okay.
Really, really important that we spend so much time worrying about how it's going to sound. We trust these guys to my right to make it sound amazing. They've done their job. Now it's your job to tell the story. Let Dan tell it.
Okay. Replacing your furnace filter once a month not only improves the furnace efficiency, it can also extend the life of your furnace. When a filter is clogged with dirt, dust, or pet hair, the hair doesn't flow as easily as it's supposed to, which means your furnace has to work harder. And if it's working harder, it's using more energy. Replacing your filter is simple and just takes a couple of minutes.
Okay, one thing. If remember this, if you trip on words, it's not because the words moved on the page or your eyes lost their place. You're simply out of story. If you're tripping on words, because here's the thing with Dan, he's not going to trip on the words. He owns the words. If you're tripping on them, it's because you're getting in the way. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. So here's the thing. We know Dan's personality. How would you describe it?
Quirky.
Got it. Colorful. Quirky. Yeah. That's not what
nice.
I'm Here's the thing. That's not what I'm hearing. You're in the way. It's too nice. It's too safe.
Yeah, that's me.
Give it the Okay. Here's the great thing. That's why it's called voice acting.
Right.
Let Dan step out of the shadows. Let him play full out now. I'm here. I'll catch you. You're good. You got the quirky glasses. You get the color going.
Would you just read one line the way you read it?
No. Absolutely not.
Oh, gosh.
No. He's not here. Yes, you do. Take a risk. Jump off the ledge. I'll catch you. Go for it. Here's the thing. Go over the top with it. Take a risk.
Replacing your furnace once.
Okay.
I'm right here. I don't understand what you mean.
Okay. So here, really quickly, it's more about just let him tell the story full out. Replacing your furnace. You've listened to him for the last 45 minutes. You know how he talks. Let him talk.
Replacing your furnace filter once a month not only improves your furnace's efficiency, it can also extend the life of your furnace. When a filter's clogged with dirt or dust or pet hair, the air doesn't flow as easily as it's supposed to, which means your furnace has to work harder. And if it's working harder, it's using more energy. Replacing your filter's simple, and it takes just a couple of minutes.
Right here.
All right. Yeah.
There it is.
Acting.
Because it's true.
Yeah.
Because it was true. Nice work.
Thanks, Dan.
Very good.
Very nice
Very
work.
Good.
Drum roll.
That's awesome.
Here we go.
All right.
Okay. Now try and be yourself. Anyway, after that. Okay. So take your time on this puppy.
Okay. Let's see here. The Heartland is the only national auto and home insurance program endorsed by ABCD for more than 30 years. It's time to graduate to a company you can trust and get the service and value you deserve. Visit AskHeartland.com or call the Heartland at 1-800-707-7700 and see how much you could save.
What's your true tell about insurance companies?
Mostly people have to trust their insurance company.
That's not what I asked you.
Right.
What your true tell is about insurance companies. Try again. Answering the question.
Right. Yeah.
How do you feel about them?
They're like every other insurance company, but I want to make them more than just any other.
Exactly. But again, you said they're just like every other insurance company. That's your true tell.
Right.
Put it on the table. You got to deal with it. That's how you feel about it.
Right.
Now, so guess what?
I have to make them. I have to be them and you know.
You've already passed the point of no return.
No, I haven't. I'll get back there.
Hold on.
Okay.
That doesn't mean. Okay. So here's the thing to remember, everybody. Just because I'm telling you you're not the person to tell the story doesn't mean you're a bad actor. As an actor, you should be able to as Blair did, substitute you telling the story about the furnace. What do you think I'm going to tell you? Somebody else can tell the story about insurance.
Right.
Do you know any insurance salesmen?
I used to sell insurance.
Yes.
And we'll be right back. Yes.
And you'll notice that I'm no longer selling insurance.
And we'll be right back. Okay, so why did you get out of the insurance business?
It sucked. Five years selling life insurance.
Okay.
No. But no, with this company, you know, they're an important company that has, you know, they've been at it for a long time. And if they're at it a long time, that means that they're an established company and you can trust them.
Put that on a Chiron. Okay. Here's the question.
Right.
Is there anybody you know who's still selling insurance who does believe in doing it?
Yes.
Who is it?
My insurance salesperson.
Okay. What's his or her name? First name?
I can't even remember her name.
Okay, that's fine. No. Let her tell the story now.
Okay. All right.
The Heartland is the only national auto and home insurance program endorsed by ABC for more than 30 years. It's time to graduate to a company you can trust and get the service and value you deserve. Visit AskHeartland.com or call Heartland at 1-800-707-7700 and see how much you could save.
Yeah. Big difference. How did it feel?
Felt like my insurance person.
Did it feel true?
Yes.
Okay. Guys, did it sound different from the first pass?
Yes.
It did sound different. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because for her, that story is true.
Right.
Now, it doesn't mean that anyone on the other side of that MP3 mm-hmm. or that session will know the difference.
Right.
They just know you're telling a story that's true. That's the thing. Again, cutting to the chase, finding the path of least resistance, because otherwise you're standing in the booth spinning your wheels and banging your hand against your leg going, I need to be able to tell this story. No. Yeah. Absolutely not. Let her do it. She sells she's, you know.
Be the person that tells the story.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if it's you, first line of defense is you. Second line of defense is someone else. But cool. Again, only if it's connected.
All right.
There you have it.
All right.
That was awesome.
Nicely done.
Can we plow through a couple of audience questions?
Yeah. Absolutely. Before we let you go. For it. Love it.
I know there's like six or seven, so okay. We'll try to move quickly. I know because we're running low on time, but that was really good. I'm glad we could do that. First one comes from Maxine Dunn, and she says, how did you get started in your executive career? And was it something you aimed for right out of college?
Yeah, it was. I wanted to work at a studio or a network and went to work for a talent agency for a year, mm-hmm. which was like going to Hollywood 101, learning about the studios, learning about deal memos, contracts, how the business operated, how the profits, how the business generated profit, television and film. That was a huge part of my learning curve.
Yeah.
And then working in publicity after that for 4 years and then went to Paramount. So that's, I came in from the executive side of the business, which to me, I couldn't have asked for a better education.
Yeah.
That was awesome. Best decision I could have made.
And that was right out of college. You didn't have a career before that.
No, I came right out. I went to school in New York at Hofstra. I came out at 22 and was at an agency within 2 months.
Man.
Not even. Yeah. It was the best. It was $18,500 a year.
Ooh.
And I delivered flowers on the weekends.
Bargain.
As a second job, which was really, that was really fun. But yeah, it was a great education. Good question. Thank you for asking, Maxine.
All righty.
Next question.
Do I get the next question?
Sure.
Okay. Go for it. The D-Box question here?
Yeah, I have the names mixed up, but go for it.
Okay, that's cool. Okay. Dave talked about, you talked about battling sibilance via mic technique,
mm-hmm.
but we couldn't hear it too well.
Okay. Here we are, right here now.
Yeah, can we get a redo on it?
Absolutely, redo. with your sibilance, part of that is you're pushing, some of the sibilance is coming from your voice. So what I would suggest is cutting the volume in your speaking. In addition to pulling the mic back, pull your volume back, because that also tends to push the sibilance even further. That's what I've noticed. It's really that simple. Just cut back the volume a bit in your projection.
Yeah. I've always found that sometimes sibilance is caused by people overemphasizing.
Totally.
Things. If you
Absolutely.
Can relax your mouth and just be conversational, it usually goes away.
I do. Yeah, that's actually a perfect way to solve it.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. Very simple.
This one comes from Shelley Avellino. Being British in the US, I sometimes find that finding a coach that's up on the international scene can be a little tricky. Do you coach international VO at all? A lot of my work tends to be in Europe.
Yeah, I do actually, Shelley. It's what I call the global read. It's an international read. It's also a global read. And one of the things too is if you're represented by agents, it's about giving them, promoting yourself a certain way and presenting yourself as a global voice, because a lot of times agents will look at you as a British voice, an Australian voice. It depends what side of the pond you come from. But I think that it's putting it out there yourself first and then saying to the agents or even the clients, this is what I do, and then they will come back and tell you if it's appropriate for that. But I think it's understanding that there is an amazing amount of opportunity, as you know, for international voices. So if you have any questions, please feel free to email me at dave@walshvoiceovercoaching.com, and I'll be happy to answer your questions.
Absolutely. Cool. Thanks for that.
Sure. All right.
A real self-serving question from Maxine Dunn.
Yes.
How much emphasis do you place on home studio development in your coaching practice? Do you include that topic and recommend studio designers and tech help sources? Or do you only work on performance skills?
It's funny that you asked that question.
It is.
Isn't it? It really, really is. I would highly recommend Mr. Leonard and Mr. Whittem. I do recommend them as well to clients because that is an area that is not my expertise. It is his gentleman's expertise. It's absolutely imperative for you to have a studio that sounds broadcast quality or production or professional quality. And as they know, and they will tell you, it doesn't cost a ridiculous amount of money in 2017, but it's getting the best of the best in this business. Coaches, technical advisors, agents, managers, etc. All of the things that you can put in your court to create your quote unquote team. So I do recommend that as well in my coaching with clients.
Great.
Yeah. Cool.
And look at the value you're getting tonight.
Look at that.
Nice. Big time. I think the last one for the night, so we don't keep you too much later, is from Dan Noxrob, and he says,
"Hey, Danny.
Hey, Dave. When a talent gets stuck breaking down an audition, how would you go about resetting and starting fresh?" I guess we kind of did that.
The question again, George.
I guess when a talent gets stuck breaking down an audition,
right?
How would you go about resetting and starting fresh? I think you showed us a little bit of that tonight.
Yeah, it's really
coming from a different POV.
And I know this, Dan and I've worked ourselves together on this, that it's really about breaking the script down in terms of what the script is about and understanding your relationship to it. It's the foundation for any kind of breakdown. If you find yourself in a rut, just take a beat to step away from it and then come back to it. But you will eventually figure it out. And again, if you can't tell that story, you can definitely find somebody else to tell. We found that in the room already, that it's just about taking a beat and thinking about another person in your life that may be connected to that subject matter.
Yeah, it's your voice.
It totally, and no one's going to know the difference.
Right.
That's the thing, is you should trust the fact that once you actually find the story, that voice is going to follow right behind you. It's going to connect. So just trust in it. Big
time. Yeah. This is a really short one. I think it tags on to what you mentioned a second ago.
Sure.
D-Box asked, what does he mean by a global read? How is the demo different?
In other words, it's finding whatever region of the world that voice serves. That I think that when we kind of break it down into territories, there are people that actually have the ability to combine the accents and understand how to separate them out. So I have clients who are both British and Australian who are able to combine those into a global read. It is more of there's an intellect to that read.
Sort of the mashup of accents.
It's a mashup of it, but also if you work specifically as a British voice or as an Australian voice or any other area of the world, it's about positioning that to clients more from a global perspective instead of a regional perspective. Mm-hmm. I think that speaks more for you as an independent actor versus an agent. An agent will tell you what they need, but if you're your own entrepreneur, you can market and package that business your way. But I would package it from a global umbrella versus I'm from one region of the world. Mm-hmm. Does that limit you? I think at that point. Hope that answers the question.
Yeah, it sounds like it to me. Thank
Absolutely.
You.
And I just wanted to make one quick mention since I have you guys here. I wanted to thank you for everything that you guys do for this business. that for the past 6 years of bringing a program like this to light, I think that being at the forefront of, we all trust you guys implicitly in what you do for us. And I wanted to compliment you again and thank you, first of all, for being on the show, but just for everything you guys do for the industry. I can't thank you enough.
Well, thank
and
you.
I speak on behalf of everybody else out there. So,
all right.
Thanks, but thank you guys.
Dave, thanks for being
really
with us tonight. This was a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
Oh boy. All
thank
right.
you boys.
Dave Walsh, where can they get a hold of you again?
At walshvoiceovercoaching.com or dave@walshvoiceovercoaching.com.
That makes it
there
easy.
There it is. Look at how easy that is.
Right there.
Right there.
See,
right here at the bottom. It's over here.
Okay.
Here I am.
Okay. All right. We'll be right back to wrap things up in just a minute.
Hiya, VO friends. You say you ain't booked a VO gig in 7 years? And your demo is so old that you can hear the clicks from the stock music records? And you hear so much tape hiss that you run to the sink to see if the faucet is running? And the engineer used so much echo on your voice that it sounds like it was recorded in the Grand Canyon. And the scripts seem a bit dated too, advertising the new and improved 1938 Plymouth Road King. Is that what's been troubling you, Bunky?
Lift your head up high and take a walk in the sun. Your demo can be killer, too. Just contact Uncle Roy at AtlantProductions.com and book yourself a shiny new killer demo. Show your stick-to-itiveness and show the world you'll never give up, never give up, never give up that dream.
You're still watching VOBS?
Before time began, there was VOBS.TV. Watch or else.
Having dinner tonight? How about having some VO, too?
VoiceOver Body Shop.
Have some VoiceOver with your dinner tonight on VoiceOver Body Shop, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific.
And we are back to say goodbye.
Yes, we are.
Makes it a lot easier. Our thanks to Dave Walsh. Great. That's what coaching's supposed to be about, guys. And that's what you're really going to learn.
Cracking tough nuts.
Yeah.
That's what he was doing.
That was some of the cracking you actually heard there. next week, you're not going to be here. You'll be on the show, but you'll be off in Boulder, Colorado.
We'll be remote at Maxine's place. But we are going to have a remote guest or two from Source Elements.
Excellent.
Talk about our sponsors, what's new. Yeah. It's going to be a geeky show, ladies and gentlemen. So if you're into the technology of voiceover, this is one you want to see.
Good.
Well, good contrast for tonight's show.
Right. You got to know this stuff anyway. Yeah. Who are our donors of the week?
Well, some of the names I've got on the list include the ever-present Eric Aragone.
Every single week. We love you.
Thomas Pinto, actually.
All right.
Shelley Avellino, Trey Mosley. And Michael Martin.
All right.
Thank you guys very, very much. Yeah.
And if you want to donate and help us keep technically proficient, there were no mistakes tonight. There was no technical... No, it was,
well done, sir.
Yeah, thank you. It helps, you know, it allows us to
those
really
little
make
donations,
things,
yeah, a little bit. Dollar, some of you were subscribing for $1 a month.
Greatly appreciate it.
Really appreciate it.
Yeah. Don't donate your car to us, though. We don't have enough room in the backyard here. anyway,
listen to Tesla.
That's true. But if you want to donate, there's a tab right up there. It says donate.
That's right.
And we appreciate that.
We do have VOBS logo gear if you like having stuff with our logo on it.
Yep. All sorts of stuff.
And things you shouldn't.
That's right. Let's see. John Taylor did our opening tonight.
Oh, that was John, yes.
That was John. But mm-hmm. if you want to do the opening voiceover for our show, got to time it right and send it into us as an MP3, and we will link it, sync it up with our video, and we'll see how you do with this kind of stuff.
How you do it.
That's right.
How you
do it. Yeah. What's happening at Edge?
What's going on at Edge? Well, first of all, you should always, always follow Edge on at Edge Studio on Twitter. And if you're not on Twitter, what are you doing? But the latest stuff going on at Edge, I have the spreadsheet right here on a tab of my browser. And it's, what do we got? Johnny Heller.
Oh, we know how good he is.
Johnny Heller is teaching webinars right now for Edge Studio. And so if you want to give him a listen, and take a little bit of learning from Johnny Heller, who's a master of audiobooks, you definitely want to check it out. His date on the his date is actually TBD, to be determined. So
okay.
I know it's coming up. I don't have the date yet. So if you want to keep up with what's going on, make sure you sign up at edgestudio.com. Sign up for our mailing list. Or again, just follow them on Twitter at Edge Studio. You can't miss a single thing that way.
Cool. All right. We're on podcast too, by the way.
We are?
Yes. If you can't watch the show, you're driving, you shouldn't be watching this show.
Please don't watch the show
while you're driving. But you can listen to the podcast, which is available at Stitcher, Podbean, and everywhere that fine podcasts are found. let's see here. We've got the survey.
Yep.
Take the survey. Go to, is it up above us here? Up there somewhere?
It's a button up there.
Take the survey. Let us know what you want to do on this show.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to be in the studio like this fantastic crowd we have tonight.
Yay!
There we go. All right. We fit 17 people in here one
time. We actually did.
Yeah.
I can't believe that myself.
Yeah, but we were able to do it.
Luckily, they were friends.
If you want to be here, if you happen to be in the greater Los Angeles area, like they used to say on Jeopardy!, all you have to do is write to us here at theguys@vobs.tv and say, hey, I'm going to be there next Monday night. We'll look at you who you are. We'll give you some heavy vetting, and then we'll let you. All right. No, you're welcome here. We got food. We have a great time here.
So, dogs.
Yeah, we have Ari.
Grapefruits.
Sound asleep. Yeah, wave, Ari. Yeah, get a shot of Ari there. He's just sort of like leaning over the edge of the...
We've got grapefruit.
Right.
And lemons.
That's true. Okay. We need to thank our sponsors again, like Harlan Hogan.
Vizzy Video Demos.
VoiceOver Extra.
Edge Studio.
Source Elements.
Vio2Gogo and the Rehearsal app.
And Antland Productions, where you can get yourself a killer demo. And thanks, guys, for helping us with all the streaming that we do, because it ain't cheap.
Mm-hmm.
But we do it for you, so we really appreciate it. Need to thank Marcy for letting us be out here in the garage tonight. Catherine Curden, our fabulous producer, who gets us great guests like Dave Walsh.
That's right. She's doing a fantastic job for us. Anthony Gettig and Jack Daniel, who take turns on the chat room duties.
Yeah. And our amazing floor director and producer, Andrew Bushwitz. Who did a crack job tonight.
Yes, he did.
And Jack DeGolia for the show notes and Lee Penny for simply being Lee Penny.
Okay.
All right. That's going to do it for us tonight. Thanks again to Dave Walsh. And guys, keep working out there. Remember the stuff we show you here. And if you need help with your home studio, you know where to go.
Tell a friend.
Yeah, all of them. All right. That's going to do it for us this week. We'll see you next Monday night here on VoiceOver Body Shop. Have a great week, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Toodaloo.
Wow. This is VOBS.